RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from Fall 1951. Murder Millions, the 163rd adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Lone dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Lone returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Lone swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, Murder Millions. Chapter 1. Rendezvous with Murder. The Beach Hill Sweet Shop was sandwiched between a large dry-cleaning establishment and a chain shoe store. The sweet shop wasn't much of a place, and there had been no attempt to make the interior attractive. With the counter, a long one, placed in the middle of the floor, there was barely enough width for the proprietor to operate behind it, and not much more room for customers on the other side. The counter was piled with cheap candy of the variety once classified as penny confections, but now risen to the stature of two for a nickel. There were candy bars, too, a few gadgets kids would be likely to buy, a cigar and tobacco case, and a cigarette display. Although the Beach Hill Sweet Shop was not much to look at, it was near a school and was well patronized by children. The tobacco business brought in adult customers in rather surprising numbers. Surprising, that is, to an average passerby, but not to the man who stood in the darkened doorway directly across the street. He was a man to whom only a vague glance would be given, the kind who would never be noticed in a crowd. His clothing was neutral, nothing about him made him stand out, yet close inspection might have discovered a certain alertness about him, perhaps shown more by his lively eyes and interested expression than anything else. Now and then those eyes roved up and down the street, but in the main they were fixed on the candy and tobacco store. He had been there now for almost 4 hours, a patient vigil. It was rewarded when, a few minutes short of midnight, he saw a dark, moderately priced coupe slide to the curb in front of the store and come to a smooth stop. There seemed to be 5 men in it, though the light from the street lamp was so feeble that the man in the doorway was guessing about that. The driver and the passenger sitting beside him got out. They were an oddly assorted pair. One was squat, rotund, and dressed like a fashion plate. The other was tall, scrawny, and definitely seedy-looking. They walked into the candy store just as ordinary customers would. But they were far from that, as was evident when they accosted the proprietor. The candy store owner was about 50, a robust-looking man with hair that was half gray, half black. He wore a tan alpaca jacket, and behind his glasses, cool, calculating eyes were set in a shrewd face. His name was Clint Jordan. The tall, scrawny customer put an elbow on the showcase and leaned across it. "How are you, Jordan?" he asked. "All right, until now," the proprietor said with meaning. "What do you two want with me?"
"How's business?"
the smartly dressed customer asked casually.
"Why ask me?" Jordan countered. "You don't have to come here to find that out."
"Yeah?"
the tall man grunted. "Well, let's go."
"Go where?"
Jordan asked. And now he began to look nervous.